So we're going to look at question and answer 94 and 95 in terms of idolatry. I'm not going to make that part of the sermon, but as we go through the Heidelberg Catechism and it goes through the commands, remember it's gratitude. How do we say thank you to God for everything that He has done? And the Catechism will always tell you what the commandment demands, but then also what it doesn't demand. And then it usually works from the narrower understanding that the broader comes out of it. And so we'll look at that in light of Psalm 115, which speaks then to both those things, what it means to serve the living God, no other God, and then to have no other gods before Him. Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. And feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth He has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then on page 242 in your form and prayer book, you'll find question and answers 94 and 95 of Lord's Day 34. And then we're asked, what does the Lord require in the first commandment? And we confess that I, not wanting to endanger my own salvation, avoid and shun all idolatry, sorcery, superstitious rites, and prayer to saints or to other creatures, that I rightly know the only true God, trust Him alone, and look to God for every good thing, humbly and patiently, and love, fear, and honor Him with all my heart. In short, that I renounce all created things rather than go against God's will in any way. What is idolatry? Idolatry is having or inventing something in which one trusts in place of or alongside of the only true God who has revealed Himself in His Word. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Israel was in a setting that we might call her the taunted church. Now, she may have been in that setting, and the psalm was written afterwards after getting through that experience. But certainly the church is always being taunted. There's never a time when Israel wasn't being attacked by other cultures and other subcultures and other gods and other religions, looking at them and saying, if your God is so great, why are you always in trouble? Why are you always struggling? And part of the answer would always be that Israel never really left Egypt. They never really left the foreign gods of Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land. Joshua never completely conquered the land. David never completely conquered the land. And that land never really completely got conquered until Jesus Christ sent His Holy Spirit into all that world, where slowly but surely He's dominating the world for His own good, for His glory, and to the praise of an almighty God. And then how does Israel pray? How does Israel sing? And the congregation does not, first of all, pray for herself. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. See, when we get down, when we get into that place of torment, or we get into that place of persecution, or just when we're feeling down, we can use prayer, we can use the praises, because we're kind of trying to get God to get us back to the place where we feel good again, Which would be okay if we really felt good in the thing that it is God who is being praised, but too often it's in the thing that I wanted in the first place, didn't get, and now I want. I want peace. I want happiness. I want joy. I want wealth. I want prosperity. I want perfect children. I want a fantastic marriage. I want this. I want that. Lord God, where is it? I'm not having it. We're feeling low. We're feeling down. When we think about the destruction of the moral fabric of Canada, are we more concerned about our right to worship, our rights as Christians in this land? Because if we are, we've missed it, because it's not about us. The problem with Canada today is that they do not say, the Canadians and our government does not generally say, not unto us, but to you, O Lord, be the glory. And we see that people are doing all kinds of things that even 10, 15 years ago were so immoral and so degenerate that you wonder what's happening. Well, it's because they put themselves or other thinking in place of Almighty God. They want the glory. But what of us? In those trying and desperate times, do we really have no other God? That we really only want His will alone? That the purpose of our lives is purely 100% only for the glory of God. And as long as we live in this bondage of sin, yes, the Lord God, if He is your God, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, we are no longer under the bondage and the wages of sin, which is death. And yet we will struggle every day with our life because the devil, the demons, the world, our own sinful flesh will say, don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to know good? Don't you want to be evil? Sure, of course, God wants you to do good, but He doesn't want you to do evil because evil's fun. Because when you can experience and do the evil, then you don't have to give your life to God. Then God is no longer, well, your God. And then to sing in this world of persecution, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. So why should the Gentiles say, where is their God? Our theme is we worship one God alone. First of all, we'll see the true God. And then we'll see the idols and their followers. Why should the Gentiles say, where is their God? Some believe that there's a cantor and that we have a leader, a singer, or maybe the choirs at the temple. And then they're singing, because remember we saw this morning, these are part of the halal hymns that were sung on heard this morning about the Feast of Booths, and on that last day of the Feast of Booths, it was Hosanna Rabbah, the great Hosanna day, and that the leader of the choir would sing, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be given, or rather the congregation sings that, and then in verse 2, the leader would say, why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? And the congregation sings back, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. What a glorious God we worship. The word there. So you have the two names, all right, of God in the psalm. O Lord. So my Hebrew isn't great, but Yahweh is maybe the best way to say that. Yahweh. Capital L-O-R-D is I am. Not unto us. God who is in covenant relationship with us. God who is the great I am. God who is the self-existent one. God needs no one to make Himself great. He doesn't need us. He chooses to create us, to bring us into harmony and fellowship with Himself so that we would experience the great and amazing joy of worshiping Him. And that is our greatest purpose in life. Lord, that You would receive the glory. Do your children remember the story of Moses and he was taking care of the sheep, his father-in-law's sheep? And then he came upon a bush, and that bush was just burning. But it never burned up. And then from the bush came a voice. It said, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. And I want you to go to Pharaoh. And I want you to talk to my people. And I want you to tell them that I, the Lord God, am going to take them out of the house of bondage. I'm going to release them. And then Moses asked the Lord, well, what is your name? Who shall I say sent me? And then God said, I am. Remember, we saw that with Jesus when he entered into the boat, I am. That he too is God. This is who we serve. The one who is completely other. We don't really have words that can describe I am. Because it is the great infinitive verb. To be I am means that he always has been. That there was never a time when God was not. We can't function in that. How long was God there before he created heavens and the earth? And the answer is God. The answer is I am. And how long will he be there? What does time mean to I am? And when we consider I am and that he cares for us and loves us, that is a beautiful and remarkable thing, O Lord. To you be the glory. But see, we have to learn these things. So let's go back to Moses. And Moses goes into Egypt. And then there are 10 plagues that come upon Egypt. Moses comes to Pharaoh and he says, on behalf of the Lord, let my people go. And then we read in Romans chapter 9 and 10, right, that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh to glorify himself. I will not let the people go. So what did God, Elohim, and that's what it says, our God, Elohim, is in the heavens. Now that speaks to his creative power. So that when the Hebrew reads El or Elohim, he reads, he understands the God who made the heavens and the earth, his providential care, nothing happens outside of his control, that God controls all things, he makes the laws and he uses those laws of nature and all the other things for his glory. And so God snaps his fingers when Pharaoh says, I will not let the people go, and he turns the Nile to blood. Now, I don't know if you've ever smelled coagulated blood. I had a pretty bad car accident once in Iowa and smashed my head and had 160 stitches in my face. It was, you know, a bloody mess. And then my brother-in-law and I went to, you know, being good Dutchmen, we still got to get the stereo out of the car. And it was pretty hot. And we opened the door and, oh, it was horrible. That is a stink. That's beyond. Human blood. And if you ever had a dead rat under the fridge, you know what that stink can be. That's what the Nile smelled like. What do you think about the dead fish in the Nile? What do you think about those dying crocodiles in the Nile? Hey, children, you know what the Egyptians thought the Nile was? The mother of life. And God said, that's your God? Really? I'm going to turn it to blood. I'm going to make it death. That's how powerful God is. Not unto us, Yahweh, who is Elohim. Not unto us, I am, who is the great creator. To you be the glory. I know that the nations have their other gods. But our God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. And if he wants to shut down the Nile, which he created, so that Egypt is one of the most fertile places on the face of the planet, one of the greatest civilizations known to men was developed there, and God can shut it down in 24 hours, in half a day, in a moment, in a second, in a twinkling of an eye. That's your God. And he deserves the glory. And you can imagine that Egypt was rattled. They're losing their mind. Now, I want to just draw a little bit of a connection because we're living in a world right now that is seriously losing their minds about the environment. Is the environment changing? Of course it's changing. Is the environment becoming worse? Yeah, it is. Read the Bible. And Romans chapter 8 tells us the earth is groaning in travail. Sin doesn't bring a better environment. The effects of sin are beyond morality. Sin has affected the whole planet. Our sin has affected the whole planet. If we create the internal combustion engine, you know what? Pollution happens. And then if we have all of these amazing battery-charged cars, what are we going to do with all the battery waste afterwards? Where are we going to get all of the minerals? Well, we're going to have to strip mine. But I thought strip mine was no good. Yeah, but at least we have green energy. But then we can have the sunshine. But what are we going to do with the sunshine? Because we need all these kinds of plastics. They're losing their minds. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. A year ago, they said we only had 10 years left. We only got 9 years left. Our God can do whatever He wants. And He does whatever He wants. And we sing that song. He's got the whole world in His hands. Believe it. Take rest in it. Where is God? Is God Mother Earth? I'm walking on Mother Earth. I'm stamping on Mother Earth. I'm stamping on your mother on Mother's Day. That's your God? Our God reigns. Our God made the earth. Our God made the heavens. And what's in the heavens? Even today, the scientists will tell you if the sun goes out, what will happen? We'll all die. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What did He create in the first day? Light. Was there a sun? And I know there's some seminaries of the Reformed ilk that'll tell you, well, you know, you can't really believe all that stuff. But you know what? If we go to the book of Revelation, we read that there's no sun there, for the glory of God lights the place. Do you think God needs sun to light the earth? Light, the sunshine, is not the source of life on the earth. God is. But the Egyptians thought that Ra, the sun, and Pharaoh is the son of Ra. That is the greatest power in the universe. That's the Father God. Life comes from the Nile and the sun working together. And then our God in heaven does whatever He wants to do. And when I was a kid, I always thought about it this way. I don't know if they still have all those lights, but you remember some of us older people, we had those lights and they just had the little cord and you could pull them and they would go out. I always feel like that's what God did to the sun. Really, Pharaoh? You're not going to let my people go? Click. It's dark. And by the way, it's not just dark. Like, we've all been in a dark room, but there's a light shining under the door. We've all been in a dark room, but there is the stars and the moon. But we're talking dark. Because God decided to shut the light down. There's no light for the moon to reflect. You can't see your hand in front of your face. How scared do you think you would be? Especially if you're superstitious. Because, by the way, that's all the environmentalists are. They're just superstitious. What else can they be? They don't know God. Isn't that what Paul said? Every human being is religious. Every human being has faith. He knows who God is. But he suppresses the knowledge of God. And so then he changes the Creator for something that He has created. And then the Creator says, really? Really? And I think of that story when the God of the Philistines, and God just pushes him over and his hands are busted off and his head is laying there detached from his little idol body. Dagon has fallen. Dagon has fallen. And God said, Dagon is nothing. Now, by the way, the demons are at work there. And there's evil spirits at work behind all of the idols and evil that you see. Our world is not simply deluded because of the neutrality of science, of godless science. The world is deluded because there's an evil that's present, because nothing is neutral. You're either of God or you're not of God. But what a beautiful thing to say, not unto us, O Lord. Because of your mercy, because of your strength, your truth, to your name give glory. For our God is in heaven and He does whatever He pleases. O Israel, trust in the Lord. Why do they say to us, where is your God? Look at you, church. Are you a dominant force in Canada? Israel, are you a dominant force in the Middle East? No. So then what's the point of worshiping your God? You can just hear the devil yelling at Job. Look at your life, Job. You're still going to praise the Lord. You have no kids left. You have no barns left. All your wealth is gone. You're sitting there scratching your sores. Your life is miserable. Shall we not praise the Lord who gives? And then also praise Him when He takes away. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, says Job. Not unto us, not unto me, but unto the name God give glory. So Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The cantor is singing again. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord. Some think that may even be speaking of those who were Gentiles who became God-fearers. But the point really is all, great and small, you who fear the Lord. He's your help. He's your shield. He's real. He's powerful. No one's stronger than him. If God is for us, who can be against us? And guess what the church sings back? The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel, the house of Aaron. And he will bless all those who fear the Lord, both small and great. And then the blessing. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. This is our God. May you be blessed and your children. Where is that beautiful sense of the ongoing generations that's going to move, that one of those children is going to become our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is I am. As we heard this morning, I am the living water. Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Spirit, forms that triune God, our God who came to us when the world said, where is your God? As Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross, when they said to him, where is your God? As Jesus Christ himself says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Still gives the glory to God, and there in that state of hellish agonies, crying out to the Almighty, I got nowhere else, but I'm still going to go to you, Lord my God. Why have you forsaken me? Until it's all finished. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Our God does whatever he wants. Sorry, Satan, you're done. Sorry, world of darkness, you're done. There is God and there is nothing else. Do you believe? Because there's all these views of the end times, there's all of these views of what's going to happen, but I tell you, the whole beauty of the book of the Revelation is, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You know what? It's a big spoiler alert. And just in case you didn't know, we win. Because God is our God. And he will bless you. I don't care how small you are, how little you are, how old you are. I don't care even if you're going through the worst time of your entire life. God, if he is with you, you will overcome this. He can do whatever he wants. But what about these idol gods? And what about these things that they follow? Well, we read there, right? Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. It's kind of interesting, right? The interesting thing about the image bearer, that is us, is that we have this thing called an imagination. And what's the thing that the wicked always imagine? An image of themselves to worship. Don't you find that interesting? Out of their imagination, they come up with all kinds of stuff. In the beginning, man created God in his own image. That was on the back of a Jethro Tull album. But at least he had the honesty to say it, because that's all human beings are doing without Almighty God. And if God didn't reveal himself to us, we wouldn't even know it. And if he didn't reveal himself to us in Jesus Christ, we'd never know the image of God. But, so they make their little gods. Now notice, they have mouths, but they do not speak, eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, noses they have, but they do not smell. Hands, but do not handle. I love the way the New King James does it. Hands, but don't handle. Nice to memorize. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. What is that? Have you ever seen a dead body? Children, if you need to, there's a dead bird right outside my office. You can go see it. It's got feet, can't walk. It's got half a head now, but doesn't see too good. You can yell at it and poke it. It won't do anything, but everything's there. It's got a heart. It's got little feet. It's got little wings. It's dead, isn't it? That's what an idol is. And what does it say at the end of the psalm? The dead do not praise the Lord. And then what does it say in verse 8? Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Do you realize that every idol worshiper, which, by the way, is anybody who doesn't put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, is dead. And it's interesting. How come we listen so much to dead people? The church is always listening to dead people. Yeah, come on, you know. Science has taught us that the earth was created, which already got a problem, because to be created, there has to be a creator. But it was made through evolution. So maybe we can take your Bible and we can join it to this theory of evolution. And we're going, that makes sense. When I went to Christian college, that's what they taught us. Everybody had to read this book called The Fourth Day. Why? Because it can't be possible that there was a light before the fourth day because there was no sun. So therefore the Bible is myth and it's legend and science is true. Who came up with science? We did. God gave us the principles, but human beings invented the things. And then they're going to say, on the basis of our science, God, you have to conform to us. I think there was only one person, one being that was there at the beginning, and he said, I created it out of nothing in 6 days. Why is that a problem for you? Well, it's a problem for you because if it's true, then I've got to give my life to the living God. And then some fellow named Darwin says, well, you know what? I think if you look at these animals, it's true. They kind of change and they look like that. And I go to the zoo and I see a monkey and I'm going, yeah, it kind of reminds me of my little kids, which is always interesting. We want to come from monkeys. I mean, apes are not the most, attractive animals. And now I found out that our eyes actually come from chicken eyes because that makes more sense to understanding how our eyes work and chicken eyes work. So now we're actually cousins of the chimpanzees. And if you didn't know, dolphins are more intelligent than you. They're dead. They're blind. They're deaf. We look outside and what do we say? The heavens declare the glory of God. You look at that little bird outside and you see, I thought it was black, but there's purples and greens coming out of those feathers. It's just beautiful, really. This week I just sat outside because I can hear the birds, especially see the red-winged blackbirds, and they're all out there moving, and you can hear it. And you hear the music of the symphony of nature, and you get to read Psalm 115 and hear the song of the church and going, yeah. When you hold a little baby, what child in the world holds a little baby and says, I think that came from primordial soup. That came from mom. Oh, yeah, it came from mom. What's going on, beloved? We live in a world that they can't know better because they're as blind as the gods that they serve. And just a little bit of PG-13. But you think, when Jacob and Rachel and Leah are running away from Laban, but Rachel wants to keep her gods. She sits on her gods and says, well, it's that time of the month, so nobody looks under her skirts. Don't you know that Moses, when he wrote that, is laughing? Your God is sitting under that unclean woman? That's your God? And I better take it along because things will go better later on. No way. We will not. We understand that. You know why God says have no other God? Because there are no other gods. Idolatry is having or inventing something in which one trusts in place of or alongside of the only true God. Who makes it up? Dead people. So, in a way, right, those who make them are like them. But really, the idols are like the dead who make them. And we need to be clear. And now you understand why it's so desperate that you have the word of life, the water of life, to go and bring it to the dead people out there. And sometimes they seem way smarter than us. They've got PhDs and they do research and they got data and all that stuff. But if you can't understand that God made the heavens and the earth and in the beginning he created male and female, he created them in his image, he created them, then you're going to get as rattled as Israel when the lights went out and the Nile turned to blood. And you're seeing the desperation and the brokenness of a society that doesn't know where it's going. Well, maybe they actually do, and they don't want to admit it, so they'll do anything to get out of it. Worship Allah, the deceiving Arabic God, who on the day of your salvation, even if you answer the three questions properly, can say, you're not in. Or you can go into the Eastern religions and become part of the great nothingness. You know why? Because your body's no good. Or you can worship a God who took on human flesh so that our bodies and our souls could be resurrected and redeemed. So that we, like an Adam who was created a corpse, the Holy Spirit comes in, the image comes, he stands up, he's alive, that spirit is derived from him into the woman, and now we live, and then breathe on me, breath of God, we live again, and that's why we who are the living praise the living God, so that we rightly know the only true God, trust Him alone, to look for God for every good thing. Where are we going to go now? Now, I want you to be careful, because it says alongside of, it's not your bank account. It's not all the hard work you do, and you do. You work hard. It's not all the books you're going to read that's going to help your marriage. It's not all of the things that you're going to do. Stop trusting in yourself. That is the great demonic pressure on the church today. And then two things happen. We just continue and overwork. Or the younger people are saying, that didn't really work that great for mom and dad and opa and oma and grandpa and grandma. So you know what? Why don't we just back off and live a different way? And now we're just going to head up into the world of the great numbness of porn and pot and all that other stuff. What's life? Real vibrant life. It's to know this God and to receive that blessing. The Lord has been mindful of us. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord. That's life. That's the power of that commandment. That when God takes Israel and brings her to Sinai, He said, I'm your husband. I'm your husband. I love you. And no marriage can work if you got more than one lover. Worship me, love me alone. I promise you, I will always love you. I will always be faithful to you. And then He does the same thing to us with Jesus Christ. I gave my life for you, Jesus says. I died for you because you're my bride. And then you see the whole thing of male and female. All of those pictures break down if we listen to the world. But if we listen to Scripture, a man who dies for his wife. Have you ever been more loved than that? And we come in beside no other. There's no one else who could do this for us. Oh, Lord, give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. And lead us not into temptation. Not unto us, O Lord God. Let's stop running after everything. And let's start running to God and praying that He'd work through us and in us. Because I don't want to be dead anymore, do you? And I don't want to be half dead either. Let's leave here today trying to be fully alive. Not unto us. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven. But unto You be glory given. I'll leave you with the words of Isaiah. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver in the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it, and they set it up in its own place, and there it stands. And from it, that spot, it cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it does not answer. It cannot save him from his trouble. Remember this. Fix it in your mind. Take it to your heart, you rebel. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God. And there's none like me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and have no other gods before the Lord, Yahweh, our God, Elohim. I am the creator of the heavens and the earth. There is no other God. So let's be wise and strong. Stop listening to the dead and praise the living God. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in this remarkable song, for the structure in it, the beauty of it, and Father, the sheer courage of it. Father, sometimes we wonder about all the things we see in this relativistic world, that everything is a pathway to you, or nothing is a pathway to you, or even, Lord, that you don't exist. But you have asked us to speak as light, the light of the world. And Lord, the sun is fantastic and we need it, the moon and the stars, but we need the light of your word. We need the water of life. And we need, Father, your Holy Spirit, that we may believe these things, so that Psalm 115 wouldn't only be a confession, but our practice. And that we would live before your throne of grace, praising the living God. To you be the glory both now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen.